Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
This is DT, and welcome to Inside the Episode. Today, David and I are inside Jumpstart Your Success. These titles are killing it. And these are all David's titles. David's like crushing it with his titles. It's friggin' amazing. So Jumpstart Your Success. Okay, yeah. So David, you talked about, you know, this is something that a lot of people have heard before if they've seen you speak on stages. You talk about turning your annual income into a monthly income.
Yeah.
And you originally started that when you were digging into your network marketing days in the mid-90s. And you loved the idea, but you never quite got there in the network marketing time. And then eventually you did break through that in your own business, which was a huge turning point for you. So I guess what the listeners probably want to know is, what did that do for your confidence when that happened the first time? And did it get easier after that to just do it again and again and again?
It did, right after that went over a million. Yeah, it was extraordinary. The confidence came around the awareness of how easy it actually was. So, and I realized that It was years of preparation that led me to that breakthrough moment, right? Because there's a lot of things that go into it, right? I had to be able to ask for that amount of money. I had to have the right clientele. I had to have, you know, developed something. I had a good product to sell, that type of thing. But when I dropped the idea that it needed to be hard, and I became aware that I was making it hard because I was afraid to ask for more money than I was asking for, then that became the point of growth right there. Okay, so I need to step into asking for more money. Like, there's no reason I should be asking for the amount that I'm asking for other than I don't feel like I can ask for more. So the confidence came when I asked for it and I got it. A matter of fact, it was easier to ask for more than it was for a little. And we know that to be very true now. I didn't know that then, but I know that over years of experience that that's very true. The cheaper that you go in your price, the more that you have people haggle with that price, at least in their mind. Like, can I afford it? Do I really want to do it? Blah, blah, blah. When you start raising your prices and you have a quality product or service, you're looking at the people that are looking at it are more serious, right? They're much more serious. So you're dealing with a more serious person, a more committed individual. So it grew my confidence around that. It grew my confidence around asking for more money. It grew my confidence that I could do it because I watched myself do it over and over again. I raised my prices after that even. And then it was shortly after that I went over a million. So it was kind of like I broke through the last, you know, kind of funky place around money, where it seemed to me this mysterious thing of like, will you ever get it? Can you ever actually make that much? Is that really possible? Can that be really you? Is it real? Can that really, really happen? You go through all of that kind of thinking. And then when you start doing it, you're like, oh shit, I get it now. I absolutely get it. All those fears that were keeping me down here trying to get up there, you can't get up there from down here. You got to change that and come up here, and then you get it, right? So, yeah, it totally changed my confidence.
Yeah, I mean, it makes total sense. You know, when you talk about, you know, you heard Bob say it was easier to make this amount than it is to make this amount annually to monthly.
Oh, he relentlessly teased the shit out of me.
Sure.
He did. He used to say to me, I wouldn't even get out of fucking bed for $50,000.
Yeah.
You take all year to earn it? And I'd be like, fuck off.
Yeah, right.
Dude. Like, seriously?
Well, and it's true, right? Because, I mean, let's say you wanted to make $10,000. It would be easier, like on paper, it's easier to sell one person at $10,000 than it is to sell 10 people at $1,000, right? But yet people don't think that, and you're 100% right. When you know when people are haggling with your prices, chances are your price too low. And that's one of the things that you have done extremely well, is that when people come to you struggling with overwhelm, work output, they've got a quality good or service that they have, but they're price too low. They raise their prices thinking, how could I ever do that? Nobody's going to come. Yeah. I barely have people buying it now. And then something magical happens when they double, triple, quadruple their prices and boom, the floodgates open up.
Yep.
It's so interesting because I used to be of the mindset that, oh, we'll go with the discount rate, you know, go with the discount. That's how I was raised, middle class, right? And then I came into your world and it was totally different. And I started to see it in action and I couldn't believe it. Steph started coaching with you, raised her prices at her nutrition practice, and she had people beating down her door. Whereas the week before, she didn't have that many people.
Right.
It's so interesting because when you attract those, when you price low, you're attracting bargain shoppers, like you said, and they're going to negotiate left and right.
100%.
Because they don't think they're worth it.
Right.
I love that. Well, we do really make things difficult, like you talked about in this episode. And when you say it's easier to make $50,000 in a month than it is $50,000 in a year, most people, and you can kind of see it in your events, they audibly either gasp or they outwardly balk at that notion. So how does that naysayer who's out in the audience and kind of is thinking there's no way this guy's out of his mind, how do they get past that and believe it's not only possible, but probable?
Well, you have to want it. You have to move from being just a naysayer that's going to put down an idea, and you have to be one of the people that actually wants it. Because if you want it, even though it may sound ludicrous the first time you hear it, or that I'm making fun of you like I did with Bob, you'll sit there and you'll go, yeah, you know what? But the truth is there are people that are doing that. And the truth is there's a lot of people that are doing that. What is that actually like? You know, I mean, hey, I had to be in an environment for probably about 3 years, the network marketing environment. I was in an environment where people were making that on a regular basis. I was exposed to them. I was hearing it all the time. We would hear it on our group calls. We would hear it at convention. We would hear it, you know, with our downline, with our upline. We would hear it all the time. So that idea starts seeking into your mind. And you get, you know, it's kind of like you're feeding this monster that's like, yes, I want that. I want that. I want that. I want that. But do you want it enough to change your behavior? Because you're building this desire that you want it, but you're not really changing anything, right? So I think that the person that starts to experience that little candle flame that starts to turn into a raging fire inside where you're like, I've got to have this. I've got to figure out a way to make this work. That's when the person's going to let go of the safety thinking and behavior and actually go out and be bold in what they do and bring a confidence that doesn't cause people to run away at your insecurity, you know, and you play the part. You become the role. You become that person. And boom, you break through. It's like, whoosh, you're just there. It's like you step through the magic curtain and you're on the other side. You're in Oz.
And once you see it, you can't unsee it. So once you do it, you can undo it. The only thing you can do is just stop.
Right.
And that happens quite often too. That's why you see this ebb and flow. You talk a lot about consistency, and you've been talking about consistency quite a bit recently. Consistent greatness, like consistent sales, not this up and down and, oh, I made so much this month, so I'm going to take 3 weeks off and meditate. Like this ebb and flow. You don't want that. You want consistency.
Right.
In everything you do. And I think that's a powerful lesson to people. And I would push back. There's a lot of people out there right now who are saying, well, we're in another crisis. You know, this is another 2008. What's going on with COVID, the uncertainty, the unknown? There's a lot of people who are hurting right now. But the reality is there's a lot of opportunity out there as well. Right. I mean, you just did a huge series on navigating uncertainty around how people can use this opportunity to grow, to look at yourself a little bit, but to grow in your business. And the opportunity is still there, right?
100%.
More than ever, almost.
More than ever. There are all kinds of people that are making money.
Yes.
And I'm not just saying that arbitrarily. I know them. I know they're making money. They're making millions of dollars. People are selling every single day. I get the text messages. I get the Skypes. I get the emails. Every time people that I know that are making sales, they're constantly telling me, made another one, sold a half a million. Like, it's constant out there. And what people are realizing is that, yes, you have the subset of people that you see through the media that are on their bandwagon and they're on their ideology and they're on their need to be right, or they're politically involved, or they're sick, right? Or there's the consequences of the sickness. We see all of that. But what they're not showing us is the people that are continuing to move forward regardless. You know, Here's the thing. Everybody that we see on TV, I don't care how they're involved in this, they're still buying things. They're buying food. They're buying toilet paper when they can get it, right? They're buying water. They're buying masks. They're buying, you know, things for their house. They're buying things. People have not stopped buying things. Some people may have stopped buying things that they don't think that they need. But when you're working with people that are in business, they need things, you know? So we work with a lot of businesses. Those people need things. They haven't stopped buying. They haven't stopped selling. They're continuing to move forward. So any business that is in a situation where they can change in any way, most of those people are trying to find a way to do it. And like, what do I need to do? Do I need to learn how to do Zoom? Do I need to learn how to do presentations through that? You know, do I need to learn how to contact people differently? What do I need to change that keeps me viable during this crisis? Yeah. Which was the whole thing that I did Navigating Uncertainty, right? Because it's uncertain. So the whole idea was pause, realize that things have changed. What do we need to do to adapt to that change? How do we keep our mindset straight? How do we move forward? How do we start asking for sales and money again? And how do we come out of this okay, right? So that's
totally. Well, and you know, there may be a pivot that has to happen. We've known a lot of businesses that have had to retool their assembly lines, or they've had to pivot in another way. But the reality of it is these people didn't just sit and wait for it to come to them, right? If you really want to get ahead, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this because you should already know this, but if you are trying to get ahead, you've got to take the fight to that and don't wait for it to come to you. Because here's the thing, and this is why I think from a business perspective, this is going to weed out a lot of people who were just not willing to put in the work and are just taking up space in the industry. Totally. This is really an opportunity for people who are willing to put in the work, who are really to prop up their goods and services, because everyone out there has a great good and service they can offer, and really start to realize that you yourself can do this without it coming to you, because it's not going to come to you. Those days are over.
Over.
I mean, that's over. And it really, to be honest with you, I don't want to say it was ever like that, but you said something really early on during the coronavirus about how, you know, we've never really struggled. Like, this generation really hasn't gone through that dust bowl kind of struggle. You know, that, I mean, we had dips in the market in 2008 housing crisis. We've gone through those, but you've built businesses through those, even through the darkest of times. And that's not changing with the coronavirus. And not to be insensitive, we know people are dying and it's very sad and people are affected by it, but business still has to go on. We still have to move through this. And I think that when people start to realize that they can pivot and work harder, you know, you can work through this time. I mean, you are a prime example for this. Like, we have been doing this for nearly 3 months and you have been nonstop. You have taken very little time. You've opened yourself up. You've given away free programs. You've been on calls every week. You've been putting out crazy, amazing podcasts. You've been holding watch parties and Zooming and VIP days and all these things. That hasn't stopped. Your workload has increased 300% over the course of the last 3 months. Yeah. And yet you're still making an impact. You're still making a difference. Rather than being like, I'm going to take this 3 months and just clean out my garage.
No,
like,
a matter of fact, we did a podcast with Arjun, but I was telling Arjun, we talked probably about 3 weeks after this really started. And we were on the phone for a couple hours on a Saturday morning. And I told him, I was like, fuck, dude, I've been this busy since I started the company. Like, 100%. I haven't worked this much since I started the company. And it even got to my detriment a few times. Like, I got really exhausted a couple of times. I had to regroup myself. But yeah, and it's not just me, our whole team. Like, everybody's been busting their ass in a great way to be able to pivot and move forward and stay relevant and keep addressing what's needed. So it required that we looked at, what are the changes that have been made? How are people doing business? What do they actually need right now? Because it's not the same thing that they needed a couple of months ago. And if you remember, I'll never forget, we were all in the conference room. This is probably a week before it all came down. And we were kind of talking about, like, what the fuck is going on?
Just getting murmurs about what was happening.
Like, this is, if you'd have mentioned that this is what it had been, you'd have been like, come on already. Right. You're fucking crazy. And I think that when people are raised in good times only, or they've had a very long extended period of good times, you forget how fragile of a system we live in.
True.
And that something that could go wrong could dismantle that system either permanently or temporarily, and you'd have to adjust to it, right? But you think to yourself, it's never going to happen. It's, you know, it's science fiction. It's never going to happen. Well, guess what? It happens, and it's happened to us about every 20 years. We have something major, and this is probably one of the biggest things that we've ever seen happen to us in a non-war event, you know,
yeah,
that is affecting literally everybody on the planet. So yeah, it's kind of like, what are you going to do? Just fold everything up and stay where you are? You've got to think to yourself, how do I move forward? How do I jumpstart what is actually going on here and continue to adapt? Like, I agree. It has definitely made channels of distribution difficult. It has made the way we know life to be normal difficult. But we have to change. Like, what's the alternative?
That's right.
What's the alternative? What are you going to do? Right? You can't wait for a government handout, you know? They're just printing money right now. Like, you know how dangerous that is?
Yes,
like,
it is.
It's insane.
It's built on false pretenses.
Yeah, there's nothing there. Yeah. There's nothing there. And, you know, there'll be ramifications of it at some point. But the idea is that if you adapt, if you do the things that we talked about in this lesson, you build an experience for yourself of being able to meet a challenge and then see how you can get through it. Because you're like, okay, here's what this is. Here's the cause and effect of what makes business work or life work or whatever. How do I need to adapt in order to keep getting those causes and those effects? And then you can do it. When you don't do it, when you just wait for a government handout or somebody to rescue you, then every time something goes wrong, you freak out. And it becomes the perfect excuse to quit.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is you're going to get your stimulus check, but it's not going to be there forever. So you'd better do something now. And I wrote down change, adapt, and grow, because that's a big tenet of your teaching. It's a core foundation. You know, we went through a change. We adapted to it, and we're growing through it.
100%.
Everyone has that ability, but there's some people who are just thinking, well, I don't know if I can do this. I'm struggling. I just, you know, fix it. Just fix it. And that, you got to take the fight to the fight.
100%.
I mean, that's really what it is. And I love, and I heard a guy talk about it on another podcast I listened to this week. He talked about, you know, pressure makes diamonds.
Yeah.
And when you're under pressure, like we are under now, you've really got to think outside the box to bring whatever it is your services to market. And there's a new way and a creative way to do that. And pressure can also make rubble too. Like, right, not every rock turns into a diamond. So right, do you want to be a diamond or do you want to be the rubble? We chose diamond, and we're sparkling like one right now because we're doing the work.
Yeah.
You put in the work. We put in the work. And I think that's good. In the episode, you talked about creating the story of who you want to be. And you talk about this quite a bit. You know, when you're making hires, hire for the person you want to be, not necessarily where you're at currently. You become the person you want by creating that in advance. And you talked about General George Patton.
Uh-huh.
You talked about Michael Jordan. I mean, both of those two, they set out to create a rock solid mindset. They refused mediocrity at all costs, and they settled for nothing less than their absolute best and brought people up to their level. So what's the starting point that a person has to get to create that story? Like, do you just start from the ground up and say, this is who I want to be and this is how I'm going to get there? Or do they just say, this is who I want to be, and what are the steps involved between that?
I think you look at who you want to be, and then you find out, what are the attributes of that person? So who has
what you don't have?
Well, So like, when I changed my attitude, that's what I did. I looked at the owner of Kihi Foods and I was like, what is it about this guy that is different than me, but similar, right?
Sure.
So, and then I saw, like, I saw how it came to very logical conclusion. Well, he must have worked hard. But he also must have loved it, because how did he do it for so long, right? How did he maintain doing this? There must have been some kind of love for it. And I saw him treat people with respect. So I took those attributes and I'm like, okay, I'm going to take those attributes. So the only identifiable ones that I could grab onto that I could do, like, I don't know if he went to college or not, but I couldn't in the situation that I was in. So I had to take something that I knew. So I became that person. I became him in a way. You know, those attributes is what I applied to what I was doing. It changed everything. So then it was, you know, how do I become? So I took the attributes of the guy that I was following in network marketing. How do I do that? And then I started to see results because I started to take on his attributes. So it was studying the successful attributes of winners, right? Then it was with Bob. And then now it's with, you know, other people that I admire, and I study their attributes and I apply them, or I try to apply them in what I'm doing to get the result that I'm actually looking for. And I know that I'm just getting started. Like there's all kinds of things that I want to achieve and change. And I look at who do I need to be to do that? And then I need to commit to doing that. I need to commit to being that person. There's another way we can do it. We could take a vision of what we want. And then we ask ourselves, who is the person that accomplishes that vision, right? So you could look at Apple, right? You could Sure. say, who's the person? Well, we know it was Steve Jobs. What were the attributes of Steve Jobs that allowed him to create Apple? And then you get in there and you do the research and you find out what is the attributes that allowed him to do that. And don't just look at the fluff. Look at the dirt, too, because there's a lot in that dirt that is very useful. He may have been a dick to people, but he was relentless in the quality that he wanted. He would not settle for anything that was subpar right. than what he saw in his mind. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be a dick, but you have to be just as relentless for the quality. You take a Michael Jordan, right? He was relentless in working harder than anybody else so that when he got into that space, he was better than everybody and it was easier, you know? Yes. So he had the stamina to be able to do whatever was done. He looked at the game different than anybody else. He studied it to win. How about this? Not only did he do that, but a lot of people don't realize he hired the best physical trainer that he could buy in order to get his body in the kind of shape that he needed to win. If you look at in 84 when Jordan came to the Bulls, he was scrawny, tall guy. And you look at him at the end, he put some meat on his bones and it was all muscle. But he also had the sharpness of mind, the dexterity, the reflexes to be able to deal with it. And he put in hours and hours and hours of training just on those things, but he hired the right coach to be able to do it. And when he got that coach, he kept him for 15 years. We know it's Tim Grover, yes. right? Grover worked with him relentlessly to keep his body maximum for a period of 15 years. And then as he's getting older, you start losing some. So Grover's got to figure out how do we replace that in other areas, right? And then what are the specific trainings that allow you? I love the story of Grover counting his footsteps in the game. Like he would sit there, he would tape the games. If he wasn't there live, he would tape the games with clickers in his hand and he would count the footsteps and then he would mark down the directions in which he was taking those steps. So he knew what side of Michael's body would be tired, what side needed to be built up, how he needed to change the game tomorrow night so that he wouldn't be fatigued, you know, and exactly how many steps before he was feeling tired. So when did you start feeling tired? When did you start feeling sore? So they knew what to work on to build his stamina up. Because, I mean, you take a few days off, your stamina drops.
Totally.
Right? He has to keep it in peak physical condition for every freaking game. And they wonder why, why is it that Michael Jordan's, his excellence never dropped? Because he never let it drop behind the scenes. Right. He kept it at a peak, you know, at a peak level his whole career. That was his job.
Yeah. And anybody who worked with Grover never dropped in their peak. You look at D. Wade, you look at Kobe, you look at even he's worked with LeBron, if I'm not mistaken. Like, they are the greats of the greats. And they put in their work. Their games are won on the practice floor. Like, those guys and their stamina, it's absolutely insane. And Grover was dealing with data before data was so chic in the sporting world. And it's so cool. And if you haven't, you know, read the book Relentless by Tim Grover, it's such a good read, and it'll inspire you to do great things. And it's not necessarily a book all about sports. It has sporting characters right. in it, but it transcends, once again, sport, and you can apply that into your business.
It's about showing up as a winner. How do yes. you do that? What are the attributes? He's got 13 attributes in that book that he says they're not done 1 through 13. They're all done at the same time, those 13 yes. attributes. And he's like, well, let's just say winner for people who haven't read it. Go read the book. You'll understand what I'm talking about. But people that play at that level, they have decided who they need to be at that level. And understand that it wasn't all themselves. You know, Jordan, it was his high school coach. It was his dad. It was Dean Smith. It was all the people that gave him advice, and he listened to the advice. One of the most impressive things, I think, like, here's a big difference between Jordan and me. His dad tells him after he gets suspended 3 times, if you don't stop, you're going to lose sports. And Jordan was like, I'm done. I'm done being
cold turkey.
Jag off. Yeah. I'm not going to screw around at school. I'm going to buckle down and do what I needed to do. I heard that a million times and never stopped in school, right? But I didn't have something that I loved either, right? So he had something that meant the world to him, which was that competitive basketball environment, and he did it. He dedicated his life to that. If we will take this idea of creating the story of who we want to be and do the research, like whatever it is that you want, whatever your goal is, whatever your vision, do the research of what do you need to be that person, and then dedicate your life to it. You will become that person in a very short period of time. It does not take long to achieve greatness. It takes long time to hold on to it.
Consistent.
Right? But you have to be consistent. And then, you know, it comes down to you have to want it bad enough to do it in the first place, period.
No, it's so true. I mean, it's clear. If you want to jumpstart your success, start showing up as a winner in everything you do.
Whether
that's making your bed or cooking your meal or taking your kid to school, be the best at that, because it'll show up and it'll trickle up to all these other areas of your life.
Absolutely.
For sure. Okay, you talked about eventually hitting the wall. Like, everybody hits a wall, except in the case of Jordan, who was always accelerating and getting better. We hit the wall, and especially...
But actually, he did. He went and played baseball.
He did. That was his... He needed that 18 months to get away from it. You're 100% correct. When we talk about business, you talk about hitting a wall, and that's where a coach or a mentor is vital for moving through it. What was that experience like for you as you were building out your business? Because you've talked a lot about the mentors and the people you looked up to. What was that experience like for you when you were starting to hit that sort of wall, to have someone to kind of push you? Because, you know, Bob was perfect for pushing your buttons to get you to do things.
Yeah, it was astounding. So I've told this story a lot. Before I worked with him, I studied for 7 years. And I made great, gradual, consistent progress for 7 years. I made quantum leaps when I started coaching with Bob.
Sure.
Right? So, and here's the important part. As I was studying, I was setting goals for myself, but I was basically setting goals based on what I think I could do. Even if it was a stretch, it was still within what I would think I can do. When I went to work for Bob, it was like, we're not doing that. Like, this is where you're going, right? And that's where the quantum leaps came in, because he took me outside of my comfort zone into an area where I didn't think I could do what I was doing. And it started right from the very beginning. Like, he challenged me about quitting my job.
Yeah.
He's like, just quit. He's like, you got to stop getting ready. You can't keep getting ready for the rest of your life. He's like, you're already ready. And I didn't feel ready inside. I didn't feel ready at all. And he was like, you're already ready, but you don't need to see you're ready until you make the decision to quit. The decision comes first. So he challenged me there. I quit. Then he challenged me to step into an opportunity to be able to do this. And I didn't think I was ready to do that. And I stepped up to that. And then it was sell your first event. And I wasn't ready to do that. And I stepped up to that. And then it was turn your annual into a monthly. And I stepped up to that. And it was become a millionaire and build a business and on and on and on and on. And it was him constantly challenging me at every accomplishment. Never got to rest at that accomplishment. It was, we're doing another one. We're going to do another thing. What do you want next? You know, where are you going? And then eventually I began to be able to see much further on my own, but it was because he challenged me to do that, right? And then you get to the point where it's kind of like, oh, if I can see it, I can do it. I just have to be willing to become that person. Now, there's a rubber meets the road question, though, T, because you have to because here's the thing. We can get romantic about the result, about the vision, right? The vision looks gorgeous when you're standing back and looking at it. But you have to answer the question, are you willing to become the person? Are you willing to dedicate your life to becoming the person that will create that vision? Because it's all about the commitment and the change and the sacrifice and what you're willing to say no to and what you're willing to say yes to. If you're willing to do that, you can have it, but you have to be willing to do it. So that's where, like we were talking about in another podcast, you have to know who you are, right? So I don't think there's anything worse. It's great to have a great vision and set a goal, but if you're doing it for any other reason than that's who you are, you're making a huge mistake, because you will be miserable in that journey and it will ultimately be a failure for you, you know? I mean, yeah, you can look at it and find good things about it or whatever, but it puts you down, it sets you off down a wrong direction. Because you're not doing it for authentic reasons. You're doing it for some other story that's going on in your head. So you have to ask yourself, is this what I'm going to trade my life for? Is this the thing that I'm going to actually dedicate my life to be, do, and have in my life? And if it is, then do it. Do it and don't look back. Do not look back. Just do it and keep your eye moving forward. Stay in the present with your eye forward.
Yes. All right. As we walk off with this one, can you leave our listeners with like the biggest lesson you could provide for consistent greatness? Like when you think of consistent greatness and doing it over time at a high level, what's maybe one shift that they can do in their mind today to start that path for themselves?
It has to be commitment and accountability. I don't think a person will do it without commitment and accountability. There has to be something there because look, everybody gets tired. Everybody gets like confusion goggles that go on. When you're in the middle of it, things can get hazy, can get foggy once in a while. And you need somebody standing on the outside that you can trust where you can go, am I on the right track? Am I off track? Like what's actually going on here? Where they can help you see further in your own weaknesses and your own shortfalls so that you can pick yourself up and do it. If you don't have the commitment, dedication to the commitment and some kind of accountability, chances are you won't get there. You know, like most people don't realize Jordan kept his dad around to hold him accountable.
Right.
His dad held him accountable. His dad helped him make decisions. You know, he didn't make all those brilliant decisions on his own. You know, he had his mom and his dad. They were there for everything for him.
It's true.
They dedicated their life to his career. You know, and they helped him make very wise decisions without being too overbearing.
You know what you never hear about his parents, though? They weren't like the militant parents that were like they let him choose his own path. And when he would make a mistake, he'd go to his dad and his dad would talk with him about it. But there was never, you screwed this up. He was never driven by that dysfunction. No. It's very rare in that sort of thing, I would think. Now I shouldn't say that because the true greats probably have that support system and the parents allowed them to make mistakes rather than someone who lives vicariously through their child. Yeah. Well, all I know is that, I mean, jumpstarting your success, this was an incredible episode. I think there's a lot of nuggets. I'd go back and listen to the main one over and over and over again. Really good stuff here, David. Thanks for coming inside.
You got it, man.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.